This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this is always one of the best days of the year for us. You know, we've partnered up with Heroes and the Dirk Nowitzki Foundation to carry the Heroes game here at 105.3 The Fan for the last several years. And before the game happens, Dirk always makes his pilgrimage to 4131 North Central Expressway to join us. And he is in studio now.
Got Dirk.
Yes.
Got
yes.
Dirk.
We did it.
Yeah,
we did it.
We got Dirk.
At Swish 41.
Got Dirk.
If
yes.
you're
Dirk.
Near your computer, yeah, we're baby, Facebook Living this on 105.3, the fan's Dirk. Facebook Live page. How you doing, Dirk?
Excited to be here. It's that time of the year again. Thanks for helping out as always, guys.
I know you've been counting down the days to come to this studio. It's a big thing for you.
Nice view.
Where can you get a view like this?
Not a lot of places.
Not a lot of places.
Not in our warehouse, I tell you that, in the Mavs facility.
How do you like the new facility?
We don't have windows.
Yeah, you guys don't have windows, but it seems like a pretty nice joint.
I like the two courts is beautiful. You know, it's especially in training camp when we had like 25, 30 guys. That one court at AAC was just way too tight. You try to shoot on the side, you sprain your ankle, hopping on some other guy, shooting on the other hoop. So that setup just wasn't great. So we love the two baskets on or the two sides off the new practice facility. So that's a nice setup.
You know, you mentioned ankles. I just rolled my ankle. Sucks. And got to be the worst thing about basketball, right? Ankle injuries. What else? I mean, what would be the worst thing about basketball? Why can't we get some scientists working on the whole basketball ankle thing?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought the ankles is not the worst. If you roll your ankle, it's fine. It's the knees that are the worst, you know, that could cut your career short. I mean, a rolled ankle is not going to be the biggest problem. But speaking of, you know, I had ankle surgery a couple weeks ago now. It's over almost 6.5 weeks ago. So doing good, rehabbing every day and, you know, stepping it up from week to week and running the pool and it's looking pretty good.
So, is it? I just looked down. It looks like there's threads coming out of it. And it's bleeding,
actually,
I think.
This is actually the scab coming off. So
okay.
I wanted to cover it because it's sort of gross. I mean, it's got pus coming out. Yeah. I mean, but
I don't think it's
doing well. I thought a little air would help it. So I kind of kept it open and it's not good.
Ben, would
not
you blow look. On that during this interview? I'm worried about
I don't need his germs on there.
You're sitting there fondling your open wound with your dirty hands. What are you doing with your hands?
Oh,
quit touching that thing.
Yeah, right.
They call him dirty, and he's sitting there playing with his wound. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So how soon, I'm wondering about this. Now we're 2.5 weeks away from the baseball game. Are you going to try and steal bases with this ankle, or what's your participation going to be like?
You know, even the last couple of years when I was healthy, my movement wasn't the greatest. So I'll probably be playing first base again a little bit, which has the least amount of moving. And hitting and running will be a problem. I might be a designated hitter and then have somebody else run or find somebody in the lineup that can be a nice runner for me. But, yeah, I just haven't been to the point where I can run. I've been running the pool a little bit. On the treadmill thing underwater, but I haven't been able to run outside. So I'll be a game time decision.
You know, you've been the MVP in this game for 6 consecutive years, and everyone knows
it's
you're the best.
It's getting boring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone knows you're the best in this game.
I should be the MVP, as always.
these two teams hate each other, and there's a lot of pressure on you guys to win this game. How much pressure are you putting on yourself to get ready for that game?
Yeah, I'm working out. You know, I've been rehabbing and getting, especially my core. You know, I feel like this is the weak part. I got to really rip it through to get the ball out of the infield. So I gotta work on my torque, I guess.
Are you ever going to pick up golf?
You know, it's fun when I'm out there, but I don't have the time necessarily right now with me still playing, rehabbing every day or... Even when I don't rehab last summer, I literally took like a week or 2 weeks off and I was already back in the gym working every morning. So I think once that is done and I have more time, I can see myself doing it because it's fun when I'm out there. It's beautiful. The courses are nice. And obviously you go to hang out with friends and maybe have a beer or two on the course. And I'm sure that that'll be great once my career is over. But as of now, with three little kids, as you guys know, they keep me busy and keep our family busy right now.
Because, you know, it obviously it takes a while to get good. You're already really good at tennis. And so, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, basketball, you still got at least, and you got a year left. I think you may have 2 years left. I don't know where your head's at on all that.
Maybe. Maybe till the kids go to college that way. Yeah.
But I was wondering, it's like you're already so good at tennis. I was wondering if, like, when you're trying to stay active after your playing day, is like, why would I go play golf when I can just play tennis? Because you play tennis with your wife and buddies, and, you know, that's. And that's why you have the tennis event in September.
Yeah, I love tennis. That was really my first sport growing up, and love watching it, love playing it. But, you know, I think golfing is just a lot less taxing, a lot less moving. So I'm sure that's something I will get into it. Right now I play about once or twice a year for some charities, and the Mavs always have theirs in October in training camp, and I have a blast. And when I do hit the driver, I mean, it's fun. It moves, but I can't control it enough right now to really make it fun.
You know, watching the lottery, you know, it sucked, obviously, getting the fifth pick. It's still going to be a good player, but yeah, I loved your reaction to it. You're like, great.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. So what is your take on that? Just the whole process.
No, it's just, you know, if you look at our history of drafts where we ended up, it's just been bad luck for the Mavs. I don't know why, but every time we're projected to have a high pick, we always end up the team that slips. I don't know why that is, but anyways, that's just how I felt that night. I was like, if there's one team slipping, of course it's the Mavs. So that's why I tweeted it out, and I guess it was funny.
Now that you know that you guys are fifth, do you watch any of these? I mean, everybody can go online and go, oh, NBADraft.net, here's six guys. Do you watch any of these guys?
So a little bit. You know, I get more and more into it as we get closer. And then obviously we do bring some guys in for workouts. And since I'm there anyway, or the last couple of years I was there, working out, getting ready or staying ready and lifting. And then I was there. I met all of them. I watched their workouts. So I'll do the same again this year once we get a little closer to draft, you know, get involved a little more. But like I said, it won't change much. I don't watch college that much. I don't watch EuroLeague, so I don't really have that much of an opinion, or I got to trust in our scouts and Donnie and all, and Mike and Finn. They've been watching these guys all season, or even some longer than just one season. So at some point, you just have to trust their opinion, and that's why they make the big bucks.
You know, we've talked about this before. One of the hardest things in sports is to figure out which guys have that intangible of wanting to work for it, even after they get paid. Harrison Barnes, legitimate gym rat, right? Like yourself. He's always in the gym. And we've talked about a lot of guys call themselves gym rat, but then you don't see him in the gym. So do you feel like if you could talk to an NBA prospect and size him up in a short amount of time, figure out if he has that intangible?
That's tough. In a conversation, that's tough. I guess you'll never know until you really see it. But, you know, obviously you do research on the guys. You know, you talk to their college guys, their college coaches, guys that in high school even. See what they're like and what the attitudes are, and you know, you just do your research, do your homework, and I always remember there was one guy 1 year, I don't even know, I remember who it was, but we drafted him. This was a long time ago, and he goes, "I'm a gym rat. Whenever you're in the gym, I'm in the gym." Next season rolls around, and he really was there early. But I never could see him. He wasn't working out. So we found out later that he was in the downstairs bathroom sleeping, because he must have gone out all night, and he had to show up, let's say, at 9, but practice was until 11, so from 10 to 10:30, I don't know, nobody found him. He must have taken a little snoozer somewhere, but I'm sure there's guys that work hard, and you just got to find them.
You know, I use you as an example. We talk about athletes not being examples or whatever, but I think when an athlete does something well and you can use it as a lesson, it's absolutely good to be a role model in that way, and I think your work ethic is that. You've worked your ass off to get where you are. I mean, we've seen it firsthand. So basically, have you been able to figure out there's no shortcut? It's hard work. It's the only way to get where you're trying to go.
Yeah, I think at some point, all the guys have talent and length at this level. And the only thing that gets you over the top is hard work and working on your craft and trying to get better during the season. Come in the summer, take a few weeks off. Yeah, get away, clear ahead, and then back at it, back in the gym, trying to add more stuff, trying to get more consistent in certain areas, trying to get better in other areas. That was my motto. I never wanted to be the same when I come back in October for training camp. I always wanted to be a better player, on and off the floor. And so the summer is always big, you know, the summer league for the young guys, the workouts, and that's a big time for get in shape and then also get better.
All right, I got a dual Holger question for you here. By the way, that's the voice of Dirk Nowitzki joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. So first, since we're talking about work ethic and stuff, obviously you worked. Guys now have player development coaches, but you sort of arrived with the player development coach from Holger, and you worked with him and did all these different things through the years. Well, now you're 20 years into this thing. How different are your workouts with Holger than they were, say, 15 years ago?
I'd say if you watch him now, they're almost in slow motion. You know, we used to run some, you know, especially like when I work out with him in the summer 15 years ago, we were always getting ready for a big tournament. I used to, in my whole 20s, I played national team every summer. So there was always a European championship, a world championship, Olympics. There was always, every summer there was something or a qualification for something. So we always trained for something, and those 5-6 weeks, so, you know, you got to go hard. You start off a little slower, and then by the end, you go, like, when it's like 2-3 weeks out, you got to really be on top of your game and push yourself every day and do all these crazy Holger frog leaps and this and that to get you ready. And that was always my program. And now, I don't play national team anymore. So at the beginning of summer, I take it a lot slower. It's a lot of maintenance lifting to keep the muscles strong. We do some yoga here and there to kind of stay loose. I shoot a little bit. And then once it comes later in the summer, towards August, then I really step it up. Then I get with our strength coach here. And then, you know, we do all sorts of crazy lifts and trying to get all the, athleticism that I can, I guess, still get out of this body. I was trying to get it out, and we run a lot then, and we don't lift as much anymore because then it's time to get more explosive. And so that's been kind of the routine since no more national team.
Okay, and then my second Holger question is, and I know you don't have time to watch Eurobasket and all that, but I know Holger's been over there and he has seen Luka Doncic play, and there's so many people talking about Doncic and no 19-year-old's ever done this, that, and the other. Have you talked to Holger at all about him, or have you seen anything, or what have you heard about who this player is? Because people are very interested in him.
Yeah, I've not talked to Holger about him. All I've seen was little clips. I haven't really seen one whole game. It seems like to me for a 19-year-old is really savvy. He's already playing a great court game. He's going to be a little challenged, I think, athletically. Mm-hmm. If he plays the one, I think he's got enough size to play the two, especially now everybody's going smaller anyways. I think he'll be okay. I mean, he's got all the game. He's got all the mid-range. He's got the pull-ups. He's got the step-backs. But he's great with the ball, and he can run pick and rolls, which would suit him great here now since his pick and roll in the pick and roll league now anyway. So I think it's going to be great, but it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up or how this whole draft's going to shake out. I guess everything is kind of, besides Aiden, who I think is going to go number one, I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
So where you guys are picking, you might have the opportunity to get a big, big talented guy. And so in this system and in this, the way the league is now, a rookie big, his skin's broken down, could actually contribute right away just by being able to pick and roll. So does that make you kind of want to go grab one of these bigs?
Yeah, you know, as a big these days, you got to pick and roll, you got to protect the rim, and you got to be able to switch and move your feet a little bit on perimeter because it's, a lot of teams are playing small ball lineups. I mean, look at all the conference finals now. I mean, the Warriors are starting Draymond at the five. I mean, that's tough for a big guy. But if you can move your feet and switch a little bit and use your length, I mean, you can definitely have a future in this league. And saying all that about us, I have no idea what we're actually looking at. I think they're for sure meeting now every day already and more until it gets closer. But I think at three, it would have been a little more predictable who's going to be there. I think it's five. At five, it's going to be a little harder. Some of the obviously top guys are for sure going to be a lock, and they're going to be gone. But I'm sure we can find a player that that can stick around and be a 10-year plus pro in this league. You know, if you do your research and he stays healthy, you know, then hopefully we'll find a good guy that can contribute next year.
Okay, we need to talk about Dirk's personal life. We've got some really hard-hitting questions for him. We need to talk about how much better the Mavericks can get this summer. Quick break here, and then we'll be back with one more segment with Dirk. It's Dirk Nowitzki on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
How do you feel about Mike Bassett? Mike Bassett comes in. He absolutely got shelled. What do you think?
That's what he does. That's what Mike does. That's my guy. Well, he's getting housed every time.
Yes.
Thank you, Dirk.
Yes, Ben. Yes, Ben.
So unfortunate for Mike Bassett.
Greatness.
Really. Just hate to hear that.
Oh, that's so awesome. Oh, the Dirk Nowitzki Hero Celebrity Baseball Game is the coolest annual event in town. I'm actually shocked it's not sold out immediately. I think it should sell out first day. If you love local sports, what could be better? Dirk out there with Dak and... I mean, it's just incredible. All the huge names, and this year even more names. And we've got Dirk in studio with us right now. And, you know, as you look over the roster of the people that are going to be in this game, it's got to blow you away to feel that love and support. It seems like every year you just can't even believe the folks who are going to play.
Yeah, I mean, it gets bigger and bigger, and more Cowboys are coming. So it's been humbling and obviously an honor as well that people want to play in that and support our foundations there. But it's been a blast event. This is my seventh year doing it, and people must think this must be it. But I always said once I'm done, I'm gonna stop with the baseball as well. It's time for somebody else to take it over. So hopefully we have this year, and then probably next year, and we'll see after that. So no, but it's been great the support, not only from obviously the celebrities that have tons of other stuff going in their lives, and they commit to that. But also from the community and how it's been taken, and they come out and support. So it's been amazing.
Okay, so I know that there's people working for you to get people in the game that are well connected, and a lot of people you know. But the one I'm super interested in is Metcalf. Our buddy Metcalf is a huge Denver Bronco fan, and at some point he partied with Von Miller. Something he was telling me, yeah, Von Miller's my guy, and Von Miller's from this area. You know, obviously went to A&M, won a Super Bowl in Denver. And now he's in the Dirk Heroes Celebrity Baseball Game. And how did he get into the mix? Because I know he's a huge Dirk and Maverick fan.
Yeah, so I've been in contact with Vaughn for a few years now. He wanted to play already 2 years ago.
Okay.
That's when they won the Super Bowl. And he committed, and then he forgot something, I guess, and then he couldn't make it. Last year was somewhere else, but this year he said he's making it happen. And I met him one time. He was at one of our games, and he came in the locker room after, and just really, really nice guy. Grew up huge Mavs fan, and that's great. I didn't know all that, so it's been nice to know him and getting to know him a little more. And I'm super thrilled he's coming. Obviously, you see all this stuff. He's a character. He loves to have fun, and he'll fit right into that locker room. I mean, obviously that event is more to for fun than it is serious, so I'm sure he'll fit right in.
Now, is JJ playing this year? I didn't see. Okay, so I want to ask you this about JJ. You guys have a fun, competitive spirit with each other. Like, you compete in tennis, all different things. We're going to do this story later, and we'd love to get your comments on it. Some scientists have come out and said that smaller men do act more aggressively to make up for their lack of height. And so it's a little man syndrome thing.
Yeah, which, for sure.
And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this compared to JJ. Do you think JJ overcompensates with more aggression towards you because he's a little man compared to you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All the little guys have a little bit in that of that in them. But, you know, it's also how they make it. You know, especially in our sport, if you're little, it's tough for you, but you have to be tough as nails and kind of fight through some stuff and use the smallness to your advantage. So JJ is definitely really smart at that.
All right, you'll dabble in Twitter and do some internet stuff. So I'm curious what memes you've seen, but you saw the one from the Laker game last year where there was a picture of you and Isaiah Thomas came up to your waist, and you're like, you saw that, right?
I did see that.
Well, when something like that pops up on your Twitter timeline, do you laugh out loud?
I did laugh. Unfortunately, I remember I didn't actually score on him. that was the only bad part. So he's, you know, Isaiah is the kind of guy that lets you know about it. So coming down, he was kind of like, get the heck out of here with that. Because I was trying to post him up there on the free throw line. And He's like, this is not 2009 or whatever. He was talking junk to me, and then I missed it. So I was mad at that. But, yeah, it's good times.
Who wears the crown for being the biggest trash talker in the league? Draymond?
Yeah, Draymond's up there. You know, he's been really calm to me. I'll say KG and I had some good battles. I mean, obviously, Gary Payton was pretty good and vocal. Who now? Yeah, Draymond is definitely up there if you see something.
Do you see guys get triggered? Like, does it work on players where you're like, oh, my God, this guy got in his head by talking to him?
I'm not really that guy, you know. I like having fun out there, and once in a while if I see something, I can say something real quick, but I'm not really that guy that gets involved in that sort of stuff. I want to play and help the team win. That's really my only focus.
I know you enjoy great basketball watching. You know, obviously you won't play it, but I mean, everyone was looking forward to Golden State and Houston, and now it's here, and we haven't had any good games in the series. They've been taking turns blowing each other out. What have been your thoughts? How much of it have you watched, and what do you think about what you've seen?
So I have not watched most of the East Coast games. I watched a lot of the West Coast. So I did watch all three of the games. It's just the amount of talent out there and shot making, playmaking is still incredible. It's been unfortunate that the games are just not close, because, you know, that's when it's really fun down the stretch, when the best players in the world are going at it and play for play. So we're missing out a little bit on that, but still, I mean, the amount of shot making and Steph getting hot there in the third quarter and making that dribble, 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 step back three over Harden. I mean, just that's just insane, insane stuff. And what KD was putting on, and actually in all the games, but in game one, he was unbelievable. So, and then Harden was great there, really in all the games as well. So it's been the shot making, playmaking has been fantastic. We just need a little more drama, and I'm hoping we'll get that in game four. I mean, this should be a big game. Obviously, Houston needs to win it. They don't want to go home down 3-1. So they're going to throw everything out there, and should be hopefully a competitive game.
So you love the game, obviously. Do you love Inside the NBA, the show?
Yeah, not as much as I used to. You know, now it's a little late for me. I'm not up past 11 much, because, you know, the kids are usually up at 6 or 7. But I used to be a huge fan. I mean, Charles is my guy. You know, the stuff that comes out of his mouth is just outrageous, and I love it. So, you know, I do catch it sometimes. And nowadays with social media, though, if something crazy happens, you catch it the next day. You know, there's always a follow NBA on TNT, so obviously they always have something the next day. So I usually get the cliff notes of it, but I don't really watch the entire show anymore.
This is Dirk Nowitzki joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. You mentioned three kiddos now. Best part of being a dad and worst part of being a dad?
The worst part has got to be the early mornings, you know, especially during season. You know, sometimes we fly home. I don't get to bed till like 2, 2:30, and then in the morning I try to get up and help mom out a little bit, trying to get them all ready to go to their daycare thing or school thing. And that's tough. I'm not really a morning guy, even though I've gotten a lot better over the years. And the fun part is just, you know, teaching them, seeing them grow and develop their little personalities. I mean, she's the oldest, is almost 5 now. She's throwing crazy attitude at me already. you know, our girls are. So, it's been so much fun, and it's been a blessing. And the little one is almost 18 months now. He's all over the shop, crawling up everything. So it's been a lot of fun. And the boys actually are huge in the ball already. I mean, they can chase a soccer ball, volleyball, tennis ball. The 3-year-old already plays a little tennis against the wall by himself. I mean, it's insane. They already got great hand-eye coordination.
So what do you think your approach will be with youth sports with them?
That's a good question. You know, my parents kind of left it up to me what I wanted to do, and that's kind of the role I wanted to take, is I don't want to force them to anything. You know, if you want to play lacrosse, the only thing I don't want them to play is really American football. I know that's a tough thing to say over here. I didn't grow up with it. I feel like the injury to the heads are real. And so I'm from that standpoint, I probably won't let them play American football. I know I'm going to get killed for that one on Twitter. But other than that, I think it's their choice. You know, there's lots of great sports out there, and I tried a lot of them, and you know, it's I always think it's not too good to kind of specialize too early anyway. So you want them to try tons of things and at the end of the day, find the one thing that they have the most passion in and love. And even if they don't love sports, I mean, that's fine too. You know, if they want to do something else, then they're more than happy to do it.
I'm thinking of two things as you're talking about that. Number one, your dad, wasn't your dad an exceptional handball player?
My dad was handball. My mom was basketball. So,
okay. Yeah. And your dad was upset when you started, when you left handball behind, right?
Yeah, so he was my coach, actually. Okay. So once I said, hey, because I was doing tennis, handball, and basketball, all three at the same time. So my school was just getting worse and worse. And they were like, okay, you got to drop one. This is getting ridiculous. And you're smarter than that. And you got to study a little more. So we got to give you a little more time at home. So then I said, okay, well, then I quit handball. And my dad was not happy with that decision and quit coaching shortly after that.
Oh, man.
So then I did basketball and tennis for a couple more years. And probably by the time I was like 14, 15, and I was like, I really just want to focus on basketball. That's what I love the most. Tennis is not that much fun anymore. And that's how I stuck with basketball.
Basketball worked out for you, but you said something else there. You talked about they may not even be interested in sports, and I know that your wife has an art background, and I know, I mean, I always think of you guys as like the global citizens. You got, you know, your wife has European and African roots. You have German roots. You guys are living in Dallas, Texas, and last time we talked about this, your kids were learning multiple languages, right? Like, what languages does your daughter speak?
So I would say speak only English.
Okay. Okay.
But she understands Swedish and German. So I only try to speak German with the kids, and wifey's only speaking Swedish with them. And then obviously, but all day they hear English. They're in school. They speak English. So they're way more sure and fluent in English. So when I say something in German, they usually answer in English back.
Right.
But they understand almost everything. You know, sometimes they say, what? And then I might say in English because I want them to get it, and then I repeat it in German. So it's not easy all the time because you really have to focus and repeat some stuff all the time and take your time and read German books but it's fun. I mean, I think it's a great start for them in their life to have a background of numerous languages, and so we definitely want to keep that going.
We have tremendous respect for your diet. The way you take care of your body over the years, you've had to be very careful. I remember they come out with a Dirk burger and you can take a tiny bite out of it and that's it.
That's during the season.
Yeah, yeah. But you go to great lengths for that, and it seems like a tremendous sacrifice. Do you have like a big guilty pleasure? Like if you just let it go, how would you treat yourself food wise?
I mean, it's gotten to the point in the season where I'm like really strict. I barely drink any alcohol even during the season, you know, or any desserts or none of that. But in the summer, then I remember, I think it was like 2 years ago, we went on vacation and we had this nice spot and the chef was hooking us up. So I think in like 10, 11 days, I must have gained like 15 pounds.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was eating key lime pies for breakfast, ice cream, drinks, desserts left and right. So big thing is I love pizza. I mean, I could eat pizza every day if it was healthy. Desserts, I'm in cakes, yes. So to me, it's not easy during the season to always, you know, we go to dinners on the road and some of the guys, the trainers or whatever, they order dessert and there's this huge chocolate cake sitting there and I'm just sticking to my water and broccoli. I mean, it's not always as easy as it looks, but I know it's just better for me, especially at this age, to try to stay healthy and so I can still compete somewhat at a high level.
So that's the first time you've ever said something I thought, so we're actually going to get to see Fat Dirk one day. Like when you finally retire, you may just go all out and turn into Fat Dirk.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to look like Nelly a little bit. You know, I think I would have skinny legs, skinny arms, and just have a little midsection there for a year and just have fun and enjoy life a little bit and eat and travel. And then by the time I think a year rolls around, wifey's going to be like, hey, what's going on here? And then I'm going to eventually get back into working out and taking care of my body. But I've done it for so long that I think, you know, once it's done and I make that decision, then I don't want to work out for like a whole month straight. I know I'm probably not going to make it that long, but I'm just, that's how I feel. I always, in the summer, I always put pressure on me. Hey, we're traveling somewhere in Kenya and I'm looking for some fitness center to get on the bike or on the treadmill. It's just I don't want that pressure anymore. You know, once I'm done, I want to be done and not work out for a while.
You know, your boy Nelly now has Nelly Kush. He's growing his own weed in Maui.
By now he owns half of Maui. I mean, I was there probably a little over 10 years ago, and he already had half of them and so many properties and a flower shop. And I mean, he already owned half Maui then, so I'm sure it's only worse now.
You know, one of my favorite things about you, Dirk, is at the Hero Celebrity Baseball Game, which is what we're promoting. There's still tickets available for that, the greatest event here locally every year. You stay and you sign autographs until they turn off the lights. We've been out there with you where every other athlete is gone, everyone's gone, and you're standing out there and the lights go off and you're still sitting there signing. Why is that important to you?
Well, it's obviously the community has been amazing to me. I always say from day one when my first year was pretty rough, but I always felt the love, felt the support, felt like people were giving me standing ovations when I got in the game, and even though I wasn't deserving it, so to speak, and that really showed me that hey, they want me to succeed. And so it's been a love fest here ever since the last 20 years. You know, I love it here. This is my home, obviously, even after my career. And it's been a blessing coming here to Dallas, and the fans have treated me great. And so that's, I feel like I'm obligated to pay them back a little bit. And obviously they're coming out that day to support my charity and also the Mark Cuban's Foundation. And so that's big time, and I want to thank them and trying to sign as much as I can. Obviously, there's always some that I can't do. You know, I usually sign about an hour on the one side before the game when I come from the press conference, and I usually sign, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes after the game on the other side. So at least try to hit all the spots.
Well, we've said this on the show many times. There's people here in town that have careers because of you. It's hard to get a player like you, much less stay with a franchise for 20 years. And so hearing you say all that, that means a lot to the fans. But, man, you've given people careers. It's been really awesome having you here, Dirk. And we got Dirk, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Mark Cuban, Sean Lee, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith Jr., Herschel Walker. And that's just half of it. It's going to be huge this year. Huge.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm overwhelmed with all the support and all the guys making time to come. So thank you guys for all the support. And fans, come on out. It's going to be another fun year.
Well, we're going to make a strong push. They've already sold 4,000 tickets, and we still got 2.5 weeks to go. It will sell out. It sells out every year, so make sure and get your tickets. You can actually go to, I believe it's ticketreturn.com right now. Tickets range between $9 and $35. Get your tickets now. It's always one of the best nights of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the great Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
All right. The GOAT is now just going to go off somewhere and bask in the sun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.